readings from Joshua, Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9, and it's on page 216. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will be extended from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, or the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Let's pray. Father, we pray this evening that your word would be clear to us, so we'd understand what it is you want to say to us. And we thank you for your presence this evening. Thank you with us, Lord. And we pray you'd speak to us. You'd hear, help us understand and hear you in Jesus' name. Amen. So last night, Kate and I watched a little bit of Doctor Who. Anybody watch Doctor Who last night? Anybody here watch Doctor Who last night? Nobody watches Doctor Who. One or two admit to it, yeah. We used to watch it more often than we do now. And I think last night confirmed to me why I don't watch it very often. I get confused with Doctor Who. I never really understand it these days. But anyhow, one of the things about Doctor Who was, as you know, when they change characters, in other words, when the Doctor has to sort of leave because the actor's getting a bit fed up with the part, you know, there's that sort of extraordinary change that happens. And suddenly, you know, a 30-something handsome young man becomes a 50-year-old with very gray hair. How did that happen, anyhow? And it's what happens is somehow there's a metamorphosis, that's a big word, there's a change, a new era of the Doctor begins when there's a new actor. And it's really odd how they sometimes try to explain it, but that's what happens. A new era begins. And tonight, we're starting a series from the book of Joshua, and we're going to talk about a new era in the life of Israel, a new start. And so in the coming weeks, in the next month, we're going to be sort of anchored in Joshua as a book. So it's helpful if you have a Bible, just to sort of keep it open at Joshua 1 tonight. And you might want to read some of the chapters around the beginning of Joshua in your times with God this week. So first of all, a bit of background. When Moses died, the Israelites were at the beginning of a new chapter. And they had a new leader, a man called Joshua. And he was called to fulfill a very particular mission. So the first thing tonight is, what was this mission that Joshua was called to fulfill? The opening words of the book of Joshua announce, first of all, the death of Moses. And it's really important not to underestimate the importance of Moses to Israel. For 40 years, he had been their leader. And now, as he died, a new beginning was coming. There was a clear link between the book of Joshua and those before it in the Old Testament, as everything that Joshua accomplished was the fulfillment of what God had begun with Moses. And you can see that there are a number of references to Moses in those first 9 verses we heard tonight. Because of Moses' disobedience to God on one occasion, he was not permitted to take the people into the land of Israel. In fact, we read at the end of the book of Exodus, he's taken up into a mountain, and God shows him where the Israelites will go. They're going here. They will enter that land. but you won't lead them. Your servant Joshua will. Moses' death was the occasion for God to renew his command for Israel to enter the land. You know, what's really extraordinary when you look at this story, Kate and I visited the Holy Land about 6 years ago. We visited Israel, and the desert's actually a very small area. The desert between the Jordan and Jericho, that area of border, is not a big area. And Israel walked around this small area, literally just a matter of miles, for 40 years. It took them years to go a very short distance. But finally, it comes. Finally, now, under Joshua's leadership, they enter into what God has promised them. I wonder tonight whether sometimes God has made promises for us in our lives. And we just don't seem to grasp those promises. And we sort of faff about, half believing that God will do what he's promised. And the Lord's saying, take hold. Take hold of everything I've given you in Jesus Christ to be the person I want you to be. And now, this is the moment God says, move in to the land. No more dithering. Go, take what I've promised you. And Joshua is to lead the people. So Joshua's calling, his mission, the new era was to take the people into the promised land. Israel was promised physical territory. With the coming of Jesus, though, our calling is different. It's not about a physical claiming of an area of the world. God says, in Jesus, his kingdom has come. The kingdom of God, as we read the early parts of the gospel, keeps being repeated. God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, has come with Jesus. Jesus brings a new era. But it's not a physical land. Jesus comes and says, I want to be at the heart of your lives. I want to rule and reign and change your lives. I want to be at the very heart of you. God himself wants to come and live within us, to be the King, our friend, our Father and Lord, through Jesus. The rule and reign of God. That's why Jesus came, to reestablish the rule and reign of God in your life, my life, in the life of our world. And God chooses you and I because Jesus came. It's like he began that period. He came, he lived among us, he died, he rose again and ascended back to heaven. Then he gave his Spirit. When he went back into heaven, today is Ascension, the Sunday after Ascension Day, and we think about that day when Jesus ascended back to the Father. But he didn't leave the disciples alone. He didn't say, now here's the manual, it's called the Bible, now you get on with it on your own. He said, no, I'm going to come back by my Spirit. I'm going to come and live within you. I'm going to lead you and guide you and change you and make you the people who bring my kingdom to the world. And that's a really, really exciting calling. Really exciting calling. Jesus comes to bring his kingdom. But what does that mean? Just for a moment, have a think, okay? For you this week, what does it mean to be someone who brings the kingdom? What does it mean? Practically, what does that mean? What on earth does it mean to be a kingdom bringer? Bearing in mind the kingdom of God is the rule of God, the reign of God in our lives, how does that change our focus? What does it mean practically for you this week to be a kingdom bringer? Now just think about it. Don't talk to anybody. Have a think about that. And I'm going to just see if I can gather some answers. What does that mean for you? You might be at school. You're on half term this week. You might be at college, you might be working, you might, I don't know, might not be working. What does it mean to be a kingdom bringer? Any examples? Think about it for a moment. And then, who likes to give me some suggestions? What does that mean? What's the answer to my question? To be a bringer of God's kingdom. Paula. Thank you, Paula. Tell me.
Well, I think for me, day by day, from the life that I had to the life that I have now with God, it's overcoming all the old in my head and living in the new. So living in the truth, and mm-hmm. and actually, that is effort, and it's daily, and it's ongoing. It almost doesn't really get easier.
No.
Actually, sometimes it can get harder, but I have to believe that I'm doing it with God.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it on my own, and actually, that takes effort too.
Mm.
So it's an effort that God gives us, but I have to like switch my head on every day to
what's
that
the,
knowledge.
What's the effect of that, Paula, as you see it, so you think, in your life?
Because I can just keep going, yeah. or else yeah. I wouldn't be able to cope.
Yeah.
And actually, it does bring hope into my life every day because I could just give up every single day, to be honest. And it gives me that ability to keep going and to help others.
And wonderful. Thank you, Paula. Paula does an amazing work like this video we watched with recovering addicts too. And that's just one of the really practical ways I think we see that in work. Paula, fantastic. Yes. Josh.
I think it's been reading on my heart recently is just speaking the truth. I think the truth is amazing, and I think most of the time, for me personally, haven't lived in the truth of the amazing reality of what actually is. And I think God is so, so powerful. Even we don't believe that sometimes.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Josh. Being truthful, living. Anybody else? Any other just practical things? Ali.
I think sometimes for me it's being prepared for my agenda to be interrupted. So actually being willing to give my time to people when I'm like, oh, I'm doing this in my day. But actually, you know, actually being prepared to go, oh, I'm going to lay that stuff down because this person's in need or they need to talk. Or, you know, just being prepared to do what God puts in front of me rather than what I think needs doing. So
that's really, thank you, really helpful. So sometimes just being willing to say, actually, there's a different focus than I thought, because it's not all about me. It's not all about me. George?
I think for me, it's really specifically inviting God into every situation that I'm in. You know, like I love going to the pub. Love going to the pub. I do. And thank you. But specifically, what I found, for example, is I love to just invite the Lord into me going to the pub.
Yeah.
And I found that I've done some crazy cool ministry in the pub. Just, you know, when you're having those, you know, 11 p.m. conversations, you know, with people and, you know, Jesus comes up and then you can be like, yeah, let's do pub sermon time, you know. But, you know, it doesn't matter where you are, but you can just invite God into that situation.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's also about making good choices. You know, sometimes everything inside you says, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. And you just know the Holy Spirit says, actually, you know, you do need to do that. That very thing might be, you know, saying, I'm really sorry. It might be changing a habit. You know, social media is very addictive, isn't it? Might just say, oh, I'm going to set it aside for a while. I'm going to do something that actually is hard. So being a kingdom bringer is about sometimes just laying down. Now, Ellie said it's time, but it's other habits, it's priorities. Because it's no longer all about me. I think actually it is about the King. The kids have said that. It's about Jesus. And learning, and I think it's a process. It's not a sort of thing that changes overnight, but it's a gradual shift daily, saying, today, Lord, be King. And he'll just gently take another bit of our lives and say, actually, now in this area, I want to work. And I'm patient, and I'll work on that thing for a while. Or with this group of people. Or with this issue, you know, it could be a bigger thing. It could be actually God saying there's an issue, and it's around thinking, it's around reading, it's about speaking up. There's so many ways. And it will at times be costly in our time. As Paul said, it could be just hard work. We might lose friends. There might be challenges. But God's saying, no, I want to be the focus. To be a kingdom bringer is to be someone who ushers Jesus into the heart of things. And it's very practical. So it's not we're not being particularly super spiritual. It's a really practical thing. And we pray that prayer. Do you know, it's there in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that means we literally are praying, Lord, let up there come down here. Okay, you know, it's saying, literally, Lord, the life that you live and you always intended for us at the beginning of time, let it come to our world. It's described elsewhere in the Bible. Jesus' kingdom is described as a kingdom of love, of peace, of joy, of right living, righteousness. God's kingdom is a kingdom of peace and joy and love and righteousness. Let heaven come to earth. That's what we pray as kingdom people. And that's the heart of this initiative we've been talking about today, advertising, that the church worldwide are being called to in the Anglican Communion, to pray, thy kingdom come. So we're encouraging you to pray this week for yourselves, for other people. Lord, please be the king, because that's the thing that will heal them and change them and rescue them. Please be the king of my life. Start with me. Please today, Lord, help me, fill me, give me the strength to be someone who lives differently. So in order to fulfill God's purposes for our lives, God promises to give us all the resources. That's what I love about this passage. It's not something we do in our own strength, and it's something we struggle with, but God gives us everything we need. Can you imagine Joshua? He must have been overwhelmed in ways with the task that he had ahead of him. To follow in the footsteps of Moses, of all people. Wow. A man who, we're told, probably in the Bible, is one of the most godly people in all of the world of Scripture. He spoke to God face to face. He'd such a close relationship with God. And now Joshua is to take up the job that Moses had. Wow. But God says to him, As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And in a way tonight, I would love you to take away that verse as the key verse. As I was with Moses, or some other person you look up to and say, you know, I'd love to be like them. As I'm with them, so I will be with you. You can live that life. Not because you're good enough, but because I am with you. I will never leave you. I'll never sink. So you can live that life. You can live that life. So I wonder what God is calling you to do in the months ahead. Because we're all called to be kingdom bringers. What does that mean for you? And I think deep down, all of us want to make a difference. We want to be those people. And it's God's purpose for you. It's his mission for you to be a kingdom bringer, someone who brings change. And there's a wonderful verse in Ephesians, and Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. Making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. We know the days in which we live are evil days. There's many, many things that challenge our faith and our hope. Personally, nationally, globally, we are challenged. The days are evil. I don't need to say that to you. You only have to think of what's happened this week. The days are evil. So Paul says to the kingdom-bringing church, make the most of your time. You might think you're very young tonight. Why do I need to hear Trevor talk about making this? I mean, I've got 30, 40, 50, 60 years ahead of me. You may or may not. Sorry to sound slightly, but you know, we can't be sure of that. Make the most of the opportunities you have now, today. We don't know what's ahead. Make the most of the time. Don't waste it. Because the days are evil. So let's be those people today in our schools, today with our friends, who show Jesus and love Jesus. I read a quote a few weeks ago when I was preaching in the morning, and I want to read it again tonight. You see, I believe God will use your strengths, your weaknesses. He will use you to serve him where you're passionate about. Now, for some people, we've heard things. You know, for people, it's some people you're really passionate about people. For others, it's maybe truth. It's different things. You know, there are different things that God's putting on your heart. What it means. You know, it's the pub, wherever it is, to be a kingdom bringer. And there's a writer, Frederick Buchner, has said this: the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. I love that quote. Your deep gladness, your excitement, your sense of God's calling meets where people are hungry. And you're the people, you individually are the people to reach those people. You've got a burden for a neighbor, a workmate, a school friend, a place that nobody else has. You have a particular calling to pick a phone up and speak to someone who's elderly and vulnerable, to be a friend to the person who's got no friends. You've got a particular burden. God puts that person on your heart, and God's saying, so you reach out in that situation because your gladness, your passion meets their hunger. You are called, we are called to be kingdom bringers. How do we realize that? How does that come to life? And I just want to spend a few moments thinking about the practice of stepping into that. Only with God's help, his companionship, his guidance. He says to Joshua, I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will never leave you or forsake you. In John 14, Jesus talked about his death and resurrection and the coming of a spirit. And before he goes, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. And then on this day that we're celebrating today, just after Ascension, he says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So there's a real promise that God is there for you and I to do those jobs. If we will do what? If we will connect with him, if we will seek him and draw him into the very center, he will come. It's a promise for us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And it's a promise given to people who are ready to go. You know, what's really important in this story is the people were now ready to go to the promised land. It was the right moment. You see, I don't think God drags people kicking and screaming in a way they don't want to go. It's when we say to God, I'm ready, I'll go your way, that he says, okay, come with me. It's going to be a bit scary. It's going to take you into unknown territory. But come with me now because you're ready. He's not going to say it. He's not going to force you. But he will say, come on, come with me. Come on this journey. And if you're ready to go with him, he will never leave you or forsake you. So that promise is for people who are ready and on the move. Do you see that? As we're ready to go, Jesus is with us. If you're ready to go tonight, he's with you. So the Lord's saying, trust me. Pray today, tonight, Lord, let your kingdom come. God says to Joshua, I'll give you every place where you everywhere you place your foot. I will give to you. What an amazing promise. Where you go will be yours. I will give you the land. I will fulfill my promise. Was he scared? Of course he was scared. But God says, be strong and very courageous. What amazing encouragement. God's saying to you tonight, are you scared? Probably. If you're going to go where God's calling you to be a kingdom bringer, it will be scary. It will mean standing out from the crowd. It will mean sometimes being unpopular, standing up for what's right in a world where that's not easy. When there's pressure on you to do the right thing and you're tempted not to, are you willing to go with God the right way? Because if you are, he will go with you. He says, be strong, be courageous. And he says, do not be afraid. 366 times in the Bible, he says, do not be afraid. Every day of the year, plus leap year, there's a verse that says, do not be afraid. 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 And the key things are keeping God's word in our hearts, two things, keeping God's word in our hearts and walking with him. He says, do not let this book, verse 8, depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Keep God's word. Keep his promises close to you. We need to be devoted to his word. I wonder who you're listening to at the moment. You know, at this moment, there are so many voices. There's social media, there are newspapers, the media, ministry. So many voices, friends, teachers, authority figures. Election time, we're hearing so much noise. Who are we listening to? As God's people, he's saying, listen to me, first of all. Listen. Sink into my word. Be devoted. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. And there's so many practical ways you can do this. You know, read a psalm a day. Wonderful way. Have some way of reading God's word on your own. There's so many ways you can do that. Online, offline. Talk to others. Be in a small group. Get it with friends at church. But put yourself in a place where God's word is discussed and taught, where you can embrace it and it can change you, where people will pray for you, who will speak God's word to you. And then the other way we realize what God's calling us to is when we walk closely with him, when we pray. And the focus of this initiative, Thy Kingdom Come, is prayer. One of the main focuses that the Archbishop is calling people to is to pray for your friends. I wonder, is there one person this week you could pledge to pray for? One person you just keep close to your heart and you'd love to see coming alive in Jesus. Why don't you pray for them? You know, you could be a kingdom bringer by praying that they come to Jesus. And keep praying for them until they do. And don't give up. That's one of the great challenges of this initiative. Pray. Ask God. And don't give up. And he will hear your prayer. He will answer. We're going to play a quick... Here's a wonderful bishop. You know, sometimes bishops inspire, sometimes they don't. But this bishop is amazing. I mean, just a little clip. I want you to listen to what he's saying about prayer for a moment. He's a lovely, lovely godly man, and I just thought this might just brighten your evening up, hearing him talking about prayer for a moment.
God came among us in the person of Jesus of Nazareth to change the world. Jesus came to show us the way, to change the world from the nightmare it often is into the dream and the vision that God intends. The Archbishop of Canterbury has invited us to pray, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer actually does change things. We may not always know how. We may not always know the details. We may not always see the end result or the end product. But prayer changes things because prayer brings God into our conscious focus. And in some mysterious and wonderful way, prayer alters the chemistry of the moment. Changes the equation of history and life, sometimes in ways that we can see, and sometimes in ways that we can't. Prayer changes things. When the cries of the lonely, when the cries of the oppressed, when the cries of those who are sick, when the cries of those who suffer, when the thanksgivings of God people, when a child is born, when thanksgiving is uttered, when something wonderful happens, when we pray for peace on earth, when we pray for a way through, when we can't find a way through, in those moments, there is silence in heaven because God is listening. And if God is listening, that changes the equation of the moment. Prayer changes things. The Archbishop has invited us to pray, to follow in the way of Jesus, the Jesus who prayed the great prayer of John 17, that they all might be one as he and the Father were one. The Jesus who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven. The Jesus who prayed on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, prayer changes things. So if you want things to stay the same, don't bother to pray. But if you want to change and you want the world to change, pray. God came among us in the person of Jesus to show us the way to change the world and to be changed. God bless you. God keep you. And pray.
Isn't that inspiring? Oh, I love it. Pray. I want to invite you this week to pray. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. Let heaven come down into my life, into our lives together. I want you to pray that for yourself. And then I want you to pray for others. Pray for our community, our city. And ask God to put people on your hearts. So the thrust is to pledge. I wonder, would you be willing to say to God tonight, I will pray, Lord. I will pray. You see, we are kingdom bringers. That's our calling at Holy Trinity. Every one of us. God promises to be with us, never to leave us, and to give us everything we need to do the job. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, every one of you. Jesus says he will never leave you or forsake you. Let's stand and we're going to pray for a moment now. Just as we stand, I just feel that God tonight wants to speak to some of us and challenge us that we've lost sight of the fact that we are meant to be and called to be kingdom bringers. And God's just saying to some of you, you know, I really want you to be the one who I use to reach people with my love. I want to use you, Jim, Kathy, Jonah, George. I want to use you, Ellie. I want to use you, Claire. God's saying to each one of us tonight, I want to use you. Are you ready to walk with me, to pray? So that the kingdom of love and joy and peace and righteousness would come to our lives and the life of our neighborhood and our family and our town and our city and our land. God says he wants us to be his kingdom bringers. That's our mission, our calling. That the rule of and reign of God would be established in our hearts. God would be number one through Jesus. And his love and joy and mercy would be shared as a result. So Father, we thank you for this amazing, amazing calling. And in a way, we just want to stand up and be ready tonight. And we pledge, Lord, we pledge to pray this week. Put people on our hearts. Put situations on our hearts that we want to see changed. Give us promises, Lord, for people and places and areas of this church and our friends, our school. Give us promises that we can pray into and believe that you will accomplish. And give us the courage to pray and to pray them in. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let heaven come down, we pray. In your spirit, through Jesus, in our lives. Amen.